This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
It's time for the Drive's Top 4 at 4.
Hour number 2 of the Drive underway here on Fan Run Radio. And with the Top 4 at 4 this afternoon is Guy Patterson III.
Thank you. Starting things off today, number 1, Jonas Idu was bumped up to a 5-star on Rivals. They don't have Brandon Huntley Hatfield as a 5-star, but that's probably because of the reclassification.
So what do we do with that? Usually I just err on the side of the recruiting service that ranks my recruits higher, but if Huntley Hatfield's a 5-star on 247 and a 4-star on Rivals, but now Adu's a 5-star on Rivals and a 4-star on 247, I guess it's just a wash.
Well, you can just
Does that Pharrell guy work for?
Rivals.
I go with 24/7.
But yeah, they just did their reclassifying for their rankings. They bumped Idu up to a 5-star, and they haven't redone the team rankings yet. Like, they haven't taken the new players that have bumped up and reclassified the team rankings, but it's looking like Tennessee will have the number one class on Rivals after they reshuffle everything.
Well, Huntley Hatfield's he's already here, right? Right?
Huntley Hatfield and Justin Powell got here yesterday, so they're on campus. And we'll talk more about this here in a little bit, but Rick Barnes has set up official visits for 2 5-stars in the class of 2022. Kaysen Wallace from Texas, Richardson, Texas. Where's that, Rick?
It's right around my area of Dallas.
Really?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, Dallas boy coming in. And then the kid from the mid-state, Brandon Miller, the 6'9" point guard who Andre Whitehead
– 6'9" point guard?
Magic Johnson. And our guy Andre Whitehead has basically said he's one of the best players to come out of the state in a long, long time, and that includes Kennedy Chandler.
Is it time to get on? We may need to catch up with Andre soon.
Yeah.
All right, number 2, the Titans, along with the rest of the NFL, schedule was released last night. And the Titans will play in 3 primetime games for next season. October 18th against the Bills, they will play on Monday Night Football. November 7th against the Rams, they will play on Sunday Night Football. And December 23rd against the 49ers, they will play on Thursday Night Football.
Where are those? The Bills game is in Nashville?
Yeah, Bills is at home, LA is on the road, and San Francisco's at home. So 2 home primetime games.
Good games, man. Yeah. The Rams, the Niners, and the Bills, I mean, that might be the best one now.
Yeah. And they played them on a Tuesday. What was it last year because of like
the COVID? Oh, yeah, the COVID game. Yeah. Beat the tar out of them in Nashville. That was fun.
And I believe they put a cap, too, this year. You can only have 5 primetime games per team. So getting 3
really?
Out of 5, not bad.
Is there a low ball? Like, do you have to have at least 1 or 2?
Yeah, everybody gets at least 1, and that's the Thursday night game. So a lot of people say that one doesn't technically count.
I believe Denver and Houston both are lined up right now with only one primetime game.
So it's Sunday and Monday? Those are the primetime games?
Yeah, those are the other 2. Well, they got Thursday also, but they have Monday night football and Thursday night. Or Sunday night, yeah.
I believe Dallas, Green Bay, and Seattle are the teams with the most primetime games next year, as things stand, yes.
Are those the biggest markets? Seattle's not.
Well, if Aaron Rodgers isn't
in
Green Bay next year.
Are going to get flexed.
I wish they'd get rid of the Thursday night games, man. I know that genie is out of the bottle and it ain't going back in, but
I'd rather have a Tuesday night game than a Thursday night game.
All right, well, moving on to number 3, sticking with football and the Packers specifically, the Packers have signed Blake Bortles as their backup quarterback now. Before, they only had 1 quarterback on the roster.
They didn't sign Kaepernick.
Bortles?
Yep, Blake Bortles.
Desperate, man.
Bortles.
He's got one of the worst completion percentages long time.
Where has he been?
On a couch somewhere.
The Jags released him. I don't think he's been doing anything since then.
Did he make a chunk of change, though? He made some money.
Well, he had the 1 year where he took the Jags to the AFC Championship game, and
they should have gone. That was a year. Awful. He should have gone the Super Bowl that year.
He played very, very Trent Dilfer, Brad Johnson-y, just ultimate game manager. I mean, But yeah, they did not exactly ride his stellar passing to the
Who was the running back that year?
Fournette.
That's right.
That was back when they had that really good defense.
Yeah. Defense wins. That level.
Oh, they had what's his name from they'd gotten him from Denver. Played here, Malik.
Malik Jackson.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that Yannick Ngakoue, I think was the other one. No. Ngakoue.
Yeah.
Jalen Ramsey.
Yeah.
It's a good squad back then.
Yeah.
All right, number four. The Nashville Predators got their schedule release for the playoffs. May 17th at 8 p.m. on CNBC will begin their road for the Cup, and they will play the Carolina Hurricanes.
What kind of chance do the Predators have? How do they stack up with the other playoff teams?
According to the analytics, they have a 30% chance to beat Carolina in the first round.
Oh, that's not good.
No.
I guess Carolina has home ice.
Yeah, they're the number one seed, I think, in the Western Conference.
Ooh.
But the Preds are playing well.
Or the Central.
They got hot at the right time, and sometimes that's what it's about.
And they have a hot goalie in Saros. And they always say whichever team's goalie gets hot at the right time. That's...
Well, and if you can beat the number one seed, then all of a sudden it's like basketball. You upset the two seed. You've got their path in the tournament.
You go back to, was it 2017, that run they made before? They were the eight seed, just barely squeaked into the playoffs and beat the one seed Chicago Blackhawks. And that's what propelled them to the Cup
it can
final.
Happen. It can happen.
I'll watch it.
I definitely think they have a shot. I really do.
Okay.
GP3 has spoken.
Solid top four at four today, G.
I appreciate it.
Solid top four.
Today's Rickard Ridge Barbecue. Smoking hot question of the day. How many games will the Base Falls win this weekend against number one Arkansas? Already 75 votes cast at Fox Sports Knox on Twitter. 50.7% of the audience says two games. 33% say one game. 13.3% say three-game sweep. And 2.7% of the audience says zero. Say Vols get swept this weekend. Would getting swept by the number one team at home with all this excitement, would that shake your faith?
I would. It would more. The only way I see that happening is if we had like just a rash of injuries.
Arkansas has only swept one team this season, even though they've been the best team. So I would be really disappointed if we were the only other team that they swept. Number four, Tennessee.
And then for me, it's like I told you. I think off the air. The only thing that worries me is that thing that Chris Burke told us that he kind of thinks Lindsey Nelson is a hitter's park, and Arkansas is bringing bats. I mean, they'll launch.
Tomorrow's game is just it's so huge, man. To if you could get off.
Who's their number one?
I have no idea. But then if you put – I mean, my takeaways from Vitello yesterday, the first guy he mentioned was their closer. He said they'll bring this dude in for two or three innings, which is kind of what we've been doing with Hundley.
Yeah.
But he says once you see that guy, it's bad news because he's really good.
Unless you can do what they did to the guy last weekend and make that was their best reliever, just wear him out. I mean, that guy threw, 100 pitches, their reliever?
Yeah, I'm guessing the talent level is going to be a little different.
Oh, I mean, I agree, but I mean, still the principle is the same thing. If they stick their ace reliever in there, you want to try and wear him out.
Well, that's one – I mean – I keep saying this, but the patience of Tennessee at the plate, the ability – we draw more walks after 1-2 counts and even 0-2 counts where
I'm saying.
We just stay patient, don't swing, foul it off, stay alive, and somehow get to base, man. And, yeah, I mean, I think we will throw
the ball as much as you possibly can. I'm saying the same thing.
I think we will do that, but I don't know. I don't know anything about their starting lineup. My guess is it's really good. So again, like if we can get the win tomorrow, that just takes some pressure off the rest of the weekend. If you lose that Friday night game, then all of a sudden it's like, oh man, it's on Heflin really big on Saturday, and we'll see. But I think tomorrow night is huge.
I mean, wouldn't you say that he's built Tennessee very similar to how Arkansas is built? That's where he came from.
Well, I think that's one of the things that you look at, right? How many times does the golden apple always fall off the coaching tree? Look at the Saban tree. Look at the Belichick tree. Look at all these trees that have produced coaches, and not all of them. We know for a dang fact that not everybody from one of those great coaching trees is going to work out. So this time, with Tony Vitello, you might have done it. You might have found that golden apple off the tree.
Oh, it did. I mean,
you have got to plant it. You've got to keep that around.
Do what now? We got the golden apple, so yeah. We have to plant it.
Well, right. That one might have gone a little bit past.
Let's just workshop that.
Okay. You know what I was saying, though.
No,
the beginning, it was on track.
Can we do a goose that laid the golden egg thing here? We don't want to cut him open.
He's baseball Bruce Pearl to me. That's just he's a lightning in a bottle kind of coach. Like you just fell ass backwards into a really good coach.
Golden apple, baseball Bruce Pearl, lightning in a bottle.
Just the perfect fit, personality.
Where else can we go with this? The total package? Mm. Have we had a total package reference yet? Lex Luger?
Very nice. Very nice.
865-546-8200. If you've got thoughts on that, Rusty Enser coming up to give us some more talk about Tennessee baseball coming up here in just a little bit. Now, I'm getting some pushback, GP3, on the NHL. I'm being told that playoffs don't work that way, where jumping on that bandwagon with both feet. If Nashville beats Carolina, they would not necessarily take over the one seed path. Reseed.
Well, the way it's working this year, it's a little different. You have to win your division first. So regardless of who wins between Carolina and Nashville, they'll play the winner of Tampa and Florida. And then the winner of that would play the winner of the other division within their conference. And then the winner of that would play the winner of the other conference, and then that would decide the Stanley Cup.
You got that, Rick?
I think so. At least I'm trying.
It's basically four brackets of four teams. You have to win your bracket of four, then beat the other bracket, and then that would only leave two teams, and those teams fight it out.
What about Christopher Gabriel said is Condi Rice, is she on the NCAA?
I'm in lockstep with Gabriel on that one. Lockstep with him. Her and Robert Gates have less qualifications than the four of us sitting in this room to make an informed decision about who deserves to be in the college football playoff.
Is Gates on the playoff committee, or is he talking about the NCAA? I know Condi was on the playoff committee at one point.
Yeah, I mean, having Gates. I mean, what Gates is not qualified
for that job.
Did he play college football? I don't know.
I don't have a problem with that. I don't have a problem with if you didn't play the game, you didn't coach it. I don't have a problem with that. I just want competent people who can make an informed decision. And to me, I mean, they both served our country well. Like I don't have
you'll any, get no argument there out of
I don't have any problem
utmost,
with
utmost respect
I mean,
for both
I,
of them.
I don't think that it's necessarily great for the game to have a bunch of football coaches in there making the call, right? I mean, that's not what we do with basketball with the selection committee.
No,
there.
I mean the one thing I know people have their problems with it year in and year out, but more often than not, they get the brackets right in the dance. Like the tournament will fall. I mean, the best teams will make it to the Final Four. I mean, it's
what we were talking about is redoing the NCAA. Do you need, and this gets back to the whole college football czar talk, they've got to come up with a better way. And it stuns me that the NCAA just keeps kicking the can down the road and thinks they can maintain the status quo.
Well, here's the problem that they have in football. Unlike basketball, where the NCAA controls the NCAA tournament. They will never let that go. They don't control college football, not in the same way. So I think they're just holding on as long as they can to keep getting the money they get from, you know, specifically Power Five. But I think sooner rather than later, you're going to see the Power Five split off from the NCAA. It makes no sense.
If I had told you this time a year ago that Vol Nation would be trying to make sense of Pig Howard taking to Twitter and getting political.
Yeah.
What would you have said?
Well, first of all, I would have said it wasn't a fumble. And then second of all, I would say that last time I checked, this was American. Everybody's entitled to their own opinion. And we've all got, you know, a God-given constitutional First Amendment right to say whatever you want to say. So more power to
it. If it were a year ago, in fairness, if somebody said that to me, I would have said, well, again, remember where we are a year ago? We're all sitting at home wiping our groceries down with Clorox wipes. I would say, oh, yeah, sure. Pig Howard on Twitter. Sure, why not?
Does anything really surprise you anymore?
Biggest surprise, though, Rick, is it when he was here, like, he's never been real vocal. He wasn't real vocal when he was here, and he hadn't really said anything in the year since he left here. But anyhow, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, you're good.
I think
it's weird, though, dude.
It's funny because you tweet about it, and there's always that one guy. Oh, he's right. I agree with him. I agree with what he says. They agree with what you say. All of a sudden, oh, he's a fine young man. Yeah. I wish more people would speak out. If more people, we had more kids like him, this country would be in a better place. What about the guy who expresses the political opinion you don't agree with? Stick to sports. Stay in your lane. You don't get to talk. There's always that one guy. Not one guy. There's always a couple of those guys on your Twitter thread. I tweeted
stay in your lane.
I just said, oh, Pig Howard, political hot takes. Huh, didn't see that one coming. Most people are, ha, 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 laugh at the funny joke. Two or three guys, he's right. He's right. It ain't funny. He's right. Okay, Chester, settle down now. Let's talk to Rusty Enzer. He's always right. A man who always stays in his lane. A man who always knows the score. Rusty Enzer, baseball ball, SEC Network, color analyst extraordinaire, coming up next right here on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.
Fan Run Radio, The Drive continues. Rusty Enzer, the SEC Network, joining us on the G3 Help Me Hotline. Good afternoon, Rusty. How are you, sir?
Russell, I'm telling you, man, I'm pretty fired up.
I can hear it in your voice, brother. You're ready to go. Have you got your eye black on right now?
I've got my cup on.
Spoken like a true Vol fan right there. Man,
I tell you, if I just wish I had some eligibility left. I am absolutely jacked about tomorrow and this weekend, really.
When was the last time you got in there and took BP, Rusty?
When Todd Raleigh was the coach, one of his assistants, who's still a very close friend of mine, Ash Lawson, threw me BP one day. And so I don't know how long ago that was. 6-7 years ago, maybe?
Yeah,
8 years? No, that'd be longer than that.
Longer than that, about 10, at least 10, right? Because Serrano was here 5.
Yeah, 10 plus. So it'd be a little over 10 years, yeah. I'd like to do it again.
Were you still reaching the parking lot there?
I was really trying to jack one over the scoreboard. I could only get it to the warning track, though.
Well, that's opposite field for you, right? You're righty.
No, I was left-handed hitter.
You were?
Left-handed hitter. Yeah, yeah.
Throw right, bat left?
Yep.
How did you start doing that?
I don't know. That's the way my dad was growing up. And fortunately, you're a little hindered when you're a left-handed thrower, unless you can throw 90 miles an hour. Because if you're not a pitcher, you can only play first or the outfield. You don't see too many left-handed shortstops.
No, no, you don't.
Or that's catchers.
why so few left-handed catchers? Because most batters are righty, and you have to throw across there. Or am I just?
I guess I don't know. Ask Coach Vitello that next time you have him on.
I will. We'll work that in.
See if he's ever had a left-handed catcher.
We'll work that in right between whether or not he likes, I don't know, White Snake or something.
That's right.
Rusty, this is so huge this weekend, man. And I remember hanging with you during the last coaching search, right? And we were talking during the NCAA tournament, and I think I was asking you, man, I was watching – South Carolina, what a crazy scene over there, and you said it can be that way here. We can have that here in Knoxville, and we do. I think this weekend is going to be, I don't want to say the culmination because we've got postseason play coming up, obviously, but this is the vision, right? This is what guys like you who followed this program for so long have always wanted.
Russell, honestly, this is what I've been hoping for since 2005, really. So let's go back to earlier in the season. Back in late March, it was a big series against LSU. I worked that series. I was excited about seeing the team play against LSU. LSU's, you know, not a great team this year, but it was a huge, I mean, it's only the second time that Tennessee's ever swept LSU in history. So that was big. And then Florida came in a couple of weeks later, and we won the series from right there. And that felt a little bit more important, too. And then the next weekend, Vanderbilt came in. I sat on the porch in game one against Vanderbilt, and I got goosebumps. I could just feel the energy. And that was with a COVID crowd, okay? I can only imagine, it's going to be incredible tomorrow night. It will be – I've never been to the College World Series. I've never worked a Super Regional, but I've worked probably 12 or 13 NCAA Regionals in the last 20 years. And when you get to either that first game when the home team plays, you can feel the energy, or the game on Sunday or Monday, whichever game, you know, the championship or the championship game of the Regional, you can always feel, especially if the home team is in that championship game. You can always feel, because the winner, you know, goes to the Supers and things like that. The energy level is real big. So this is almost going to be like an NCAA game. It really is. Now, if Tennessee sweeps or gets swept, it's not the end of the world. There's still a lot of baseball to play, but it's going to be an incredible scene at Lindsey Nelson Stadium. You can go on the secondary market. You can get tickets. But if you're a baseball fan, I highly recommend going to at least one of these games. I can promise you it'll be awesome.
Oh, it's going to be a blast, no doubt about it. And, you know, even going back to 2005, and correct me if I'm wrong here, Rusty, I've slept since then, but it was nothing like an Omaha run. But this feels different because I don't remember a lot of talk in 2005 about, oh, we got to extend the contract, we got to keep this guy, oh, we got to redo the stadium, which is a huge topic of conversation. Now, I know it was a little bit different because Delmonico had been here forever at that point and everything, but this feels like a different buzz than has ever been around college baseball in this town.
You're exactly right, Russell. It is different because you're right. You know, 2005 was close to the end of Rod's career, but they went on to the College World Series. I did that regional in 2005 when they played, I believe it was MTSU in the first game, and that the park was electric. There's no doubt about it. But obviously, college baseball and especially the SEC has really stepped up its game in the last 15 years, 16 years to today. And so, I mean, everybody's got big stadiums. Everybody has big crowds, minus COVID and all that. But so, yeah, it's different now. And I'm going to mention this. And you know, Tennessee's going against Arkansas this weekend, and Dave Van Horn, who's been at Arkansas for 19 years, he's won over 1,000 games. He's taken Arkansas to six trips to the College World Series. You've got guys like Tim Corbin, who's been at Vanderbilt for close to 20 years. Kevin O'Sullivan, Florida, you know, less than 20. Mike Bianco at Ole Miss has been there 20 years. He's the longest tenured coach in the SEC. And Paul Maneri, even though he hadn't been at LSU that many times, he's won like 1,700 games or something like that. But he's an older guy. I really think Tony Vitello has the chance to make his mark at this school. He's going to get offers from everywhere, but this seems to be the right fit. And I think if somehow they can get him an improved stadium, to help him recruit. He can build a national powerhouse at Tennessee, because all those guys I previously mentioned, those guys are going to be, you know, retiring in the next probably 5 to 10 years. And, you know, they're going to turn the page and they're going to go through, you know, some pains of trying to find the right coach and things like that. It's not easy. It's not easy. And so, I mean, hopefully Tony is happy here. Hope they give him a stadium. And, you know, he's a young enough guy to where he can become Tennessee's all-time winningest coach if he stays here another 15 years.
Oh, man. I mean, he can become our legendary figure in the sport.
Exactly. That's right. He'll become – he has the potential to become the General Nealand of baseball.
Wow. Well, it's – wow. That'll stop you in your tracks and think about it for a second.
The Ray Mears of baseball.
There you go. There you go.
Seriously.
Rusty Edzer with us this afternoon on the show. All right, Rusty, let's talk about the series, man. It's the number one team in the country. We talked to Coach yesterday, and I just asked him about the team. The first thing he mentioned was their closer, and so pitching is going to be a little bit different. Obviously, they're number one. They're good all over. What stands out to you about Arkansas this year?
You know, it's interesting. I think – When you have two top 10 teams like this, top five teams, I think most people who are solid baseball fans think, well, it's probably going to be pitching and low scoring and intense. And there'll be some times like that. I don't think there's any doubt. But I think there's going to be some runs scored in this series. I really do. An interesting stat for Arkansas, they lead the SEC in home runs and runs scored. Okay? But they're only 10th in hits. So what does that tell me? They hit a lot of three-run home runs. And so you got to keep them off the bases. But I think there's going to be some balls flying around the yard. I really do. I think both teams are going to be jacked to play in front of a big crowd. Now, Arkansas has been playing in front of a big crowd pretty much the entire season. They're the only team in the league that has not lost a series so far this year. Tennessee's only lost one, and that was to Vanderbilt. They're both very evenly matched. Tennessee has a much better team ERA. They're second in the league. Arkansas is sixth in the league. But I still think there's going to be some runs scored. I just hope it's a fun series to watch and to call and to be involved in.
And you're going
to
be doing. You're doing the two of the games, right?
Yeah, Friday and Sunday. That's correct.
Very good, Rick.
Rusty, we're talking a lot about how you're saying that there could be some runs scored this weekend. Let's talk about the Tennessee side of things. Liam Spence is one of the best players in the country right now. He's in the running for SEC Player of the Year, batting .404 in conference play. And according to UTSports.com, he's reached base in 49 straight games dating back to last season and has a 10-game hit streak. How impressed are you by him this season, and how big of a role is he going to play in this series against Arkansas?
I love this kid. I love the way he plays. He has a great approach. He's a really good baseball player. He uses the entire field. He can hit the ball over the fence. He goes great the opposite way. He is a perfect leadoff hitter for Tennessee.
Yeah.
More times than not, he's going to work a three ball count. He's not afraid to hit with two strikes. He's just a really, really good player. And oh, by the way, he's a pretty good shortstop. I mean, he leads the league in walks. He leads the league in on-base percentage. And that's exactly what you want out of your leadoff hitter. Now, is he a candidate for SEC Player of the Year? I don't think there's any doubt about that. You know, he's probably not the sexy choice because he doesn't have 18 home runs and he hadn't driven in 50 runs and things like that. You know, the power guys typically get a lot of the notoriety and things like that. Spence is a great player. I love watching the guy play.
So who else besides Spence are you kind of looking for this weekend to really improve, well, maybe not improve at the plate, but really continue some of their high level of success at the plate? Who are going to be some of the most important guys for Tennessee to hit some runs in coming up this weekend that you're looking for?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's a lineup for Tennessee. You got Spence, you got Rucker. I'm just going on memory right now. I think those are the only two guys hitting over 300, okay? You got a bunch of guys, you know, in the mid-200s and things like that who have come up with big hits. And that's the thing about this team. The stats, the the offensive stats don't necessarily overwhelm you, although the team is ranked second in the league in hits and fifth in home runs. I think a big difference for this team has really been since the weather has warmed up, the power numbers have gotten warmed up a little bit too. But they've got some veterans in the lineup like Luke Lipsius, Pete Durkee, Evan Russell. Some of those guys have got to, you know, come up with some big hits at the proper time. Jordan Beck is a guy that's been hot and cold. He's streaky when he's hot. He's as good as anybody in the lineup, there's no doubt. But Tennessee, it just seems like they always find a way to get the key hit by a different guy every night. And that's the mark of a solid ball club. In our sport, I mean, not everybody's going to go 3 for 3 in the lineup. You're sure. going to have some guys that are struggling during the series. You're going to have some guys that are super hot during the series. It's just a matter of getting guys on base. And if you're in a little bit of a slump or something like that, work the count, get the starter out of the game, take the ball to the opposite field, draw a walk, get a hit by pitch. You know, do whatever you can to get on base and help your team win. Because the bottom line is to get on base, whether it's a double, a single, or a hit by pitch, or a walk, it's all the same.
Looking at Tennessee's starting pitching for tomorrow, Chad Dallas heading out to the mound, and Chad Dallas has gone more than 6 innings in 5 straight games. How important is it for him to be able to really kind of, I don't want to say stretch, I think that's the wrong word, but how important is it for him to continue that play late into the game to hopefully give Tennessee a little bit of relief for their relief pitchers to save for later on in the series, like especially that Sunday game I'm kind of looking at?
Well, stretch is a good term. For a Friday night guy.
Sure.
No, I agree with you.
Okay.
Listen, he's been solid for Tennessee because I really think he has set the tone for the weekend. He's eaten up innings. He's in the top, I think, probably 5 or 6 in the SEC in innings pitched. He has won 8 games this year. He has 11 starts. And he's done. And there have been times when he has been very good, and there have been times when he hadn't been all that great. But what he has been able to do is gut through. Good pitchers are not going to have their best stuff every time out. Good pitchers may have a fastball that they can spot, but their secondary stuff, they may not have feel for that. So good pitchers know how to work through situations like that, eat some innings, you know, give your team a chance to win late in the game. If he can chew up 6 or 7 innings tomorrow night, that's a good sign for Tennessee, no matter what the score is. Because, listen, it's a 3-game series. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of baseball to be played. There's going to be a lot of ups. There's going to be a few downs. But it all starts on Friday night, and Tennessee's been very fortunate on Friday night. I think they've only lost two Friday night games in the SEC. And
Alabama and Vanderbilt, I believe.
Yep, I believe that is correct. Mm-hmm. So that's what's their, 6-2 on Friday nights? Is that right? My math's correct. So that's pretty solid. That's how you get to have the best record in the East and 17 wins this far, you know, into the season. Let me bring something else up to you. You know, the win total has been a huge surprise to me. I mean, these guys are fun to watch. They play hard. They battle. They like each other. Everybody knows their role on the team, it seems like. And I think you have to credit Coach Vitello and all of his assistants. This is a true team. They cheer for each other, and they're happy when somebody else, you know, comes up with a big hit or makes the big pitch. But, you know, Tennessee has never won more than 18 games in conference play since they went to the 30-game SEC schedule.
Mm.
So, I mean, you get to 20 wins, you're more than likely are going to win a division, and you're definitely going to be probably a national seed.
Talking with Rusty Ensor this afternoon on The Drive, and, you know, Rusty, we joked earlier about the Vol fans having to wear their cups because, you know, we've been conditioned to expect the worst in football. But like you're talking about, the way this team, it's different. It took a while, but I'm to the point now where even we go back to last Friday against Missouri, and I think you and I were texting during the game, Tennessee struggling, and you were like, they're going to grind out. They're going to win it.
And, I told you that, didn't I?
Well,
Did I not?
But I believed you because, first of all, you're a smart guy, but second of all, like, it's just that's – this team finds a way, and I think most people, you're watching a team grind, and you just kind of you believe in them, but they believe in themselves, and that's palpable, man. You can feel it. It's you're not waiting for that other shoe to drop. You're waiting for them to, okay, when's it coming? When's the rally coming? Because you know it's going to happen.
So, and this is no knock on any of the players or the previous coaching staff or anything like that, but go back several years and Tennessee going into a big series hoping to win rather than expecting to win. And everybody's, you know, and a lot of games were close when you get into the SEC, but the good teams win the close games. Tennessee lost a lot of close games. Tony's been able to change the mindset, the culture. These guys play with confidence. And it's not easy to do in this league. This league will absolutely chew you up and spit you out. And we've been spit out enough, more times than a dip of skull for sure. But I just like the way this team plays. And I knew that it was going to be a tough game at Missouri last Friday because they took finals, you know, that week before. They didn't play a midweek game. You're playing it on the road. It's cold, and Missouri is probably the absolute worst atmosphere in the SEC. You had a COVID crowd, so there was nobody there. So, I mean, hard to get excited. It'll be the absolute polar opposite tomorrow night here. No atmosphere last week, but they grinded it out. Good teams win the close games, like I said. Tennessee's a good team.
Rusty, it's your fantastic effort. So Friday night and Sunday, you and Kessling?
Yes, that's correct.
The dynamic duo up there in Lindsey Nelson, and it's going to be pretty awesome, pretty outstanding weekend. I mean, this is special stuff, and this guy, Tony Vitello, man. If you had told me, I remember where I was sitting in room over at the old house, Rusty, back in the day when the news broke that they were their high invite. And I remember, Tony, who? Vitello? What in the world are we doing, John Curry? Tony Vitello? This dude looks like he's 20 years old. And he's a rock star.
But see, I think what I probably told you was the thing that I think Tony, when he got the job, I thought, here's the one advantage that Tony Vitello had on versus any of the other guys that we hired. And listen, Dave Serrano had a resume better than pretty much anybody that we've ever hired. I mean, he took two different teams to the College World Series. And, I mean, he's a legend on the West Coast, without a doubt.
Yeah.
But Tony had coached in the league for 4 years. And so he knew what it took to win. And I've said this many times on your show in the past, Russell. This league is about power arms and power bats. And Tony's been able to recruit that in a short period of time. And he has built a very, very good foundation in a short period of time. And, you know, I just hope I really hope he stays around here and builds this thing into an SEC powerhouse. And it'll be fun to watch if he does in the next 15 years, I can assure you.
Hey, last thing, we'll let you out of here. And I told you Rick's working on a piece about a write-up about Lindsey Nelson Stadium and potential improvements that we hope to release this weekend over at fanrunradio.com. And we're talking about what we want it to be, right? Is capacity right now is like 5,000 seats, give or take a few.
I think it's 4,283 to be exact.
That's exactly right.
What is what's a good target capacity? And what would be the perfect capacity once we do redo this thing, whatever that master plan looks like? 5 years from now, how many seats should Lindsey Nelson have?
8,000 maybe. How big is Smokies Park? You know, we need something like that.
Yeah, I want to say it's six or 7,000.
I mean, you know, we need some suites.
Uh-huh.
I mean, look how popular the porches are. You know, suites are going to be covered. You're going to have chair backs. You know, things like that. We need some suites. Most importantly, we need a larger television booth in the press box. Okay,
yeah, that's definitely
an important thing. And an elevator would help, but we need, you know, expand down the left field line. Let's build some suites. Let's do a press box and let's get a roof over, you know, part of the grandstands and get some shade in that place. And, you know, the place can rock. I mean, I don't know what Tony's opinion is about possibly sharing a downtown stadium with the Smokies if that gets built and things like that. I don't know what his feeling is with that, but, you know, having an on-campus facility is pretty good when the, you know, when the fraternity guys and the, what do they call themselves, the Legends of Lindsay or Lindsay Legends or whatever, when those, you know, those guys can walk to the game, and that's kind of cool when you can do that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no doubt.
But, I don't know, 6,000, 8,000?
Yeah,
but
I think so. I'm just wondering if you know, capacity's not – how many tickets do you think they could sell this weekend? Because they sold out pretty quickly. I mean, do you think they could put –
I think they could sell 10,000 tickets easy. I really do. I mean, I've had – I can't tell you how many people have texted me, man, going like, hey, who should I call to get tickets? I'm like, I don't know.
I bet the black market will be – raging pretty good out there, but in front of the stadium. I mean, if you want to walk up and you got a couple hundred bucks to blow on tickets, I mean, you probably find one outside.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now UT did announce they are going to sell a limited amount of walk-up tickets to the general public, and the ticket office opens 90 minutes before first pitch, which would be 5:00 tomorrow. But I'll bet you. I don't know when I'm going to get to the stadium tomorrow, but when I arrived at the stadium for Vanderbilt in Florida, I got there probably 4:00-ish, something like that. There was probably a line of maybe 100 people already. So if you want to get some walk-up tickets, you better go early.
Yeah.
And have we ever said that for Tennessee baseball? I don't recall that.
Oh, man, I remember camping out for Florida tickets in football. In 1998, yeah. Rusty, that's what you – hey, the weather's nice, so you go ahead and camp out. See if they'll let you pitch a tent outside the ticket booth there. I mean, it's
– there could be some people camping out tonight. Who knows?
I could think of worse ways to spend an evening.
Of course. I mean, that's – hey.
It's going to be nice and cool.
Exactly. Exactly.
There you go. All right, Rusty, we appreciate it, man. Have a great call tomorrow and Sunday. We'll be watching, we'll be listening, as it'll be a hot ticket for sure. A lot of people won't be able to get in and be watching on the SEC Network. I know you guys will do a great job. And give me a prediction before we let you out of here. What do you think? We get this done? We win a game or two this weekend?
Oh, man. You know, I don't want to be a homer, okay? And I've never tried to be a homer on the air, that's for sure. Not like doing your show. I'm talking about doing the actual game.
Sure.
you know, I think if we won the series, it would be monumental. But listen, either way, I don't think it's going to really matter. There's still a ton of baseball left to play. Win one or two, and then let's move on. If you get a sweep, you're probably going to be the number one team in the country, and that's an incredible feat right there.
Yeah. Wow. I mean. We can dream for just a second, right? We can dream.
Seriously, Tennessee wins 3 games, they're probably going to be the number one team in the country next week.
That's pretty fun to think about. All right, well,
Russell, have you ever heard me say that about our baseball team ever since we've known each other? We've known each other a long time.
Yep.
Never.
No, it's not a conversation we had in the Todd Raleigh era when you were taking BP over there.
That's exactly right.
All right, Rusty, appreciate your time, my man. Have a great call.
Later on, Russell. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Rusty Enzer, VFL SEC Network baseball color analyst, making his presence felt this afternoon on the show. A lot to unpack there. We'll do it when we continue next here on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.
Fan Run Radio, The Drive continues.
You big rave guy back in the 90s?
Do I look like a big rave guy?
Yeah, kind of like sort of you do in a way, yeah. Like,
no.
You look like you might have used to been a rave guy.
No. Rusty Enzer, Bear, what did you learn?
Rusty's fired. I've never heard Rusty this fired up about a baseball team.
I'll tell you, I remember talking to him when the Serrano era was coming to an end, and we all knew that they were just going to let his contract expire and go hire a new coach. And I was telling him about how I had been in South Carolina the last year during the World Series, which was, I think, the last year they won it. And we were at a bar in downtown Charleston, and the place – this is not even in Columbia, right? I mean, this is just in the state.
Right.
And this place was packed with people going crazy over college baseball. And I was telling them, it was really cool, man. We had a good time out there. I didn't know any of the players or anything, but we watched the game, and it was a lot of fun. And he said, Russell, we can have that here. We can have that here, brother. And I'm like, yeah, whatever, dude. Like, it was pretty cool. And here we are. Here we are.
Yeah.
Here we are. I mean, he saw it back then. And
I mean, it's like in any sport, if you make the right hire and you either have a head coach or you don't.
Well, and what about what he said about there a bunch of – like Van Horn, the guy he learned of, I think he's in his 50s. Ray Tanner has hung it up. A bunch of these other coaches are older guys, right?
Right.
And they're going to be hanging it up in the next 5 to 10 years. And if we keep this guy happy, I think Tony's – is he 38?
Yeah, somewhere in
if,
there.
If we build him, his stadium up and take care of him and his staff and give him what he wants, give him what he needs to compete, then – I mean, it's not crazy talk to suggest that Tennessee – he said he could be the General Nealand of Tennessee baseball. It's not crazy talk to suggest that Tennessee could be the epicenter of the college baseball. We could still steal Vanderbilt's – we could drink their milkshake. We could steal that mojo.
Yeah. Nothing would make me happier.
We could be – because what South Carolina had, they had Ray Tanner, and he had been there forever, and he built it up slowly over time. And he got there. He climbed the mountain, and he won a couple, and then he sailed off into the sunset and did the AD thing for a year and played golf with Spurrier. Now he's out the door, retired. Tony's 38 years old. He's not retiring anytime soon.
Who's Vanderbilt got now?
Tim Corbin,
that's it.
He's one of the best coaches in the country.
And I like the guy.
You can not like him, but there's
great,
no
great
doubt
coach.
He's
– yeah, very, I mean, punchable face. So.
He's the best coach in the country right now.
And that black and gold hat. I just like to mash his nose. Just saying.
He's done a fantastic job, but I mean, he's, I want to say, at least 50.
Oh yeah, he's a gray hair.
And so, Vitello could be the guy. He could be the Coach K of college baseball. He could be the Nick Saban of college baseball. He could be that dude. I don't think it's. I mean, let's allow ourselves to dream a little bit. You just heard Rusty say it. Look, if
by
some chance we sweep,
how many guys
we're going to be the number one team in the country next week. I can't even really wrap my mind around that right now. It's pretty cool.
How many guys does he have in the majors right now?
Who, Vitello? I mean, do we
– Crochet?
Crochet, yeah.
He's going to have more.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's going to get those kids that don't want to go out at 18, but absolutely want to be getting drafted high when they turn 21 after 3 years.
Yeah, and think about this. So we talk a lot about the Smokies downtown park and how much fun that's going to be. It's two totally different things, right? You go to a Smokies game.
You're going for atmosphere.
You're going, yeah, you're going to have a couple of beers with your friends after work. You take the family, have some hot dogs and Coke, some Cracker Jacks, that kind of thing. You're going to relax and just enjoy the atmosphere. You don't care who wins. Can anybody in this room name a single Tennessee Smokey?
No.
No, but we can go down the entire UT baseball roster, and we want to win this series this weekend. We want to win. I go to Smokey's game. I care less if they win. Like, I don't care.
If they don't win, we're going to be pissed on Monday.
I rarely know when I'm leaving a Smokies game what the score is or who's winning. It's
minor league baseball.
It's background. College baseball, different things. So what Vitello can recruit on and get more major leaguers on is selling them. It's like, yeah, you can go and ride the bus in minor league baseball for a couple of years and make a little money. You can do that. And there's something to be said for that. You can share a 3-bedroom apartment with two other dudes and all this. Or you can come to UT. You can be the big man on campus. You can get a quality education. And you can play in front of these packed houses where the fan bases are rabid for it, and they're really rooting you on as if it's a football game instead of these baseball parks where people – it's fun. The atmosphere is fun, but it's not intense. It's intense here. And by the way, that'll help you prepare you for the big leagues, because guess what? It's intense in the big leagues. Stay with us. Hour number three of The Drive coming up. GP3 will have your top five at five when we continue. It's Fan Run Radio. Back with more right after this.